Welcome to Knitting a Story, a podcast by two crazed knitters. I'm Lex.
And I'm Jen.
Welcome to our story pod, friends.
So, today is episode 8, What a Tangled Mess. And we have Show Me Your Knits, When Good Knitting Goes Bad, Super Secret Knit Along, Knitting in the Wild, Podcast I Listened To, and It Followed Me Home, Stash Enhancement.
All right, well, let's get started for today.
What are you knitting, Lex?
Well, right now I've just got a citron on the needles. Haha. And that was quite the ordeal to get that. And I'm doing it in a nice Madeline Tosh lace that's sort of a shades of brown.
Do you want to tell everybody how you ended up on the bandwagon?
Yeah, so I'm a bandwagon jumper. I can't lie and I won't deny it. So we went out to a barbecue at our friend's house, Sam, and I did not bring any knitting with me. None, nothing. Ugh. I had nothing on me, and I was like, that's okay. I don't need knitting. Well, that was a lie. So as soon as I told everybody else that I didn't bring knitting, a couple of us had brought some things to exchange, some skeins that we didn't want, and
de-stash
and trade and all that other stuff. And so they directed me to the pile, and there was some nice lace weight there that someone had brought. And I believe it was you who suggested. You're like, oh, I have needles in my bag. That's my Jen voice. You sound like a soprano in my head. And just cast on the citron. It's free, and yeah, there you go. That's what I did.
I'm definitely a pattern enabler, aren't
I? You are definitely an enabler in general. In general. That was a pattern enabling, and you're like, oh, it'd look really nice in this lace. And
yep.
Yeah, you gotta twist my rubber arm.
Well, I'm still knitting on my citron that's out of Woolmies. It's actually a surprisingly addictive pattern, isn't it?
It really is. Like, okay, this is an unofficial knit-along, people, but if you want to join and do a citron too, why not? It's pretty easy as long as you keep track of where you are in your repeat.
Yeah, I've actually, this is the first time I've had to actually download a row counter.
Because
it makes it so much easier just to have a row counter.
It's way easier. I just try to stop knitting at the beginning of my next repeat, but that's not always possible, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it is really, really, really good.
I find that it's kind of my go-to for picking stuff up, you know, like when I'm having a long day at work, I want to come home and I want to knit something easy, and it's awesome. Like, there's a reason why 11,000 people have done this pattern.
For sure, it is. And it's a great way to show off, like, hand-dyed or kind of multi-color skeins, because it's not a very, like, there's no lace for it to get lost in.
Yeah, you could use a highly variegated, and it would still look good.
Yeah, you could use whatever kind of crazy colors you would flash and pool in different ways, as you've discovered with your Woolmies, I believe.
Yeah, like, the ruffle changes the rate at which it's pooling, and it's just really neat.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, if you have that one skein of something, you're like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah, I'm using sock weight.
I'm using lace.
Yeah, so actually, I like them both. Like you were saying, why you like the lace, because it's kind of flowy and
yeah, it's sort of more ethereal and lacy and out there, you know?
Yeah, it definitely has a softer look, I think, than the sock weight. And you're using a 4mm as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's funny, because I'm using a 4mm for the sock weight, so I guess that would explain why the fabric is so different. I guess I could have gone up a needle size to get a more flowy.
Yeah, if you wanted it, but it looks, if you want a more substantial shawl, then the sock weight with a 4mm is definitely the way to go, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And the other thing I'm working on is still working on my monkey socks at a Sweet Georgia BFL. And it's my train knitting, so it's, you know, I've got to pull it out in the morning and the afternoon when I'm on the train to work on, and it works really well. I've totally memorized the pattern now.
So awesome.
So it just kind of flows.
That's pretty sweet. That's nice when that happens.
All right, when good knitting goes bad.
Oh, so that's me.
That's all you.
It's all me. Yeah, I'm all about the going bad. So it's not really knitting specifically, but it's knitting related. When I was getting my yarn ready for the knit along that we had going, I was going to put it in a nice cake and start knitting with it until I dropped the skein. So I'd cut all of the little ties off, right? And then I dropped it. And I dropped it in such a way that there's just no grabbing it exactly and hoisting it up to safety. Yeah. Oh, no, it just... It was like the elves attacked and just, like, destroyed my yarn in the 2 seconds that it was on the ground. And I spent all of Monday and a part of Tuesday untangling that. It was pretty brutal.
That sounds brutal.
Ugh. I almost cried. I'll post a picture later, and it was brutal, and I almost cried, and there may have been some adult words being used several times.
Ugh, that's just, it sucks that it happened, but to me that's just devastating, and it's lost knitting time.
Well, I was going to start the pattern on Monday, because I had the day off, and it's a holiday here in Canada. Yeah, that didn't happen. Oh. I didn't do any knitting on Monday, except for when I went over for the barbecue and started my citron. But I didn't do any knitting that day.
That's probably why you didn't think to bring knitting, because you're like, you're all in timeout. You're staying home until you learn better.
Yeah, I was just like, to heck with you. The other knitting I had going at the time, which I've since ripped out because I didn't like the way it was looking, it was such a complicated lace pattern, and I hadn't memorized it. Like, I hadn't even started a repeat of it, so I had no idea what the pattern even was.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to be, like, the most antisocial knitting ever. I'm going to be looking at my thing constantly and trying to figure out what I'm doing. So I didn't want to bring that.
And it's kind of one thing if it's all knitters. Because other knitters understand the fact that, you know, if you have to be quiet for a couple minutes to read a pattern, that's cool. We get that.
Yeah, or if you're talking to me but you're not looking at me because you're looking at what you're doing, I don't take offense to that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But non-knitters often don't get that.
No, and then they're wondering why you don't look at them and... You know, what's going
on? Why are
on?
You talking to your lap?
Yeah. How come you're not looking at me in the eye when I talk to you? So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So.
Tangles.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was like an instant tangle. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
So, if that happens to you, it happens to me too, everybody. Yeah.
So, super secret knit along.
Yeah. How are you doing on that?
I'm doing all right, I think. I think I'm about maybe 20 rows in.
Yeah.
25.
Oh, wow, you're way quicker.
Grabbing a hold of it here. And I don't know. I love the color. It's like pinky salmon. Love it. It's so hot right now. And but I think I'm going to have to change the yarn. Like, it looks okay.
It does.
But I love the yarn, and I think I'm going to want to save it for something else. Like, does that seem strange that...
No, you're just not loving it in that pattern.
Yeah. Like, the cables are beautiful, but oh my god, cables.
Oh, let me tell you. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're not an experienced cabler, I would still recommend trying it because it's only a couple of stitches.
Yeah, they're not huge cables. There's just many of them.
Yeah, that's exactly it, that there's just many of them.
But they're not like 10 row or 10 stitch cables. So that's nice.
Yeah, so that's nice. Like, the cable, like, I've been practicing cabling without a cable needle, and that's where if I'm doing, say, a 4-stitch cable, I would pull the 4 stitches off, so 2 knit stitches and 2 purl stitches, and then use my left hand needle and hook the ones that I want to be, how do I explain this so that it makes sense? I use the other needle to kind of put them into the order of the cable, so whether it's, you know, the stitches going in the front or stitches going in the back. I'm sure there's lots of YouTube videos if anybody's remotely curious, and I found that has sped up my knitting a lot, as opposed to, you know, I usually have a blanket on my legs, so then I'm fishing around for whatever I was using to
cable it.
Yeah. And so it makes it a lot easier and definitely speeds it up. But yeah, there's a lot of little cables.
Yeah, maybe it's the fact, like, your yarn is a solid. I wonder if maybe it would work better if it was a semi-solid, maybe? More depth?
I don't know.
Or a different twist?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably got to do with the twist. I should try and see if I can get a good picture of it. I tried to take a picture last night, but the lighting was so bad it wasn't even worth taking a picture of. But it's so beautiful. Like, mind you, I love cables.
Oh, I love cables too. And this pattern is really... I mean, it looks super complicated, and at first you're thinking, what am I doing? Oh my god.
Yeah.
But as you go, I find that you get to really read the pattern, and you know that, okay, this pattern is a this, you know, like this row is like this, mm-hmm. and then the wrong side rows are all knits and purls, so that's a nice little break.
Yeah, that's a huge deal for me. I'm not a big person for patterns on the knit side, or the right side and the wrong side. I like, if obviously I'm not doing it in the round, I like to have a break when I'm going back on the back side.
Yep.
But yeah, like, it's beautiful, and it's kind of nice because the cables are all going in the right direction, the same direction, so that makes it a little easier.
Yes, for sure. It's easier to follow along where you're going.
What needle are you using? I went down from a 3.5 to a 3.25, and I definitely like the fabric a bit better.
Good.
But I don't even think I can probably go down to a 3. I don't know. I'm probably the most wishy-washy, non-committal knitter I know. Maybe I'll do this. I'll do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll do a swatch in a different, you know, like I'm only 25 rows in or whatever. I'll pull out some different yarn. Maybe something that's a little bit more smooth.
Yeah, maybe.
And try it. And then I realized I'd made a mistake on the edging. I think it's supposed to be a knit row, purl row, like.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Kind of a garter stitch.
Yeah.
On the outside, and I had just put it as straight stockinette. No, sorry, not stockinette, just garter. No.
Reverse stockinette.
Reverse stockinette. There we go.
It's supposed to be garter, but you did a reverse stockinette.
Yeah.
Which still looks fine.
Yeah, it still helps the cables to pop, hey?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but other than that, I'm the most non-committal. But I think I'll try maybe in a different color and see if it kind of blows my hair back. But if not, it's still beautiful.
Oh, yeah, you've done a good job.
The increases are interesting, though.
Yeah, the 3 into 1, that's, yeah, I did them wrong the first time. But
me
too. I was like, I'm just going to keep going. It didn't affect it too badly. Like, I don't look at it and see the increases and think, oh, my God.
Yeah. So. I finally got smart and went back in and read what she had said, the pattern designer, as to how the stitches should be increased, knit front and back,
yeah.
Then pick up the loop, and I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. And somebody like myself and you, where we've test knit projects, we should know better actually read. But no. It was just so much fun to cast on.
It was awesome. What did you use for your cast on?
I tried the way that she had suggested, and I didn't like it. I never like anything, but...
Jen, the knitter who hates everything.
Yes, I think I am like that. And so, but I've done a crochet cast on before, and I found that the stitches were easier to see than doing the two colored, and I don't know, it was just kind of wonky to me, and it didn't set it up, and it wasn't, for me in my mind, conducive to what I wanted it to look like.
Right.
But I'm hoping on that increase row, because the first row that you do is it got the 3 into 1 increase.
Yeah.
That I didn't pick up the wrong stitch, because it might be a little interesting trying to undo the provisional cast on. But what did you use for your provisional?
I did a Judy's Magic cast on, and I love this cast on. I do it for all my double knitting if I'm doing a cuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've sort of mastered it in a way, and I love it. I find it very easy, and then I've just got all of my provisional stitches hanging off my knitting on another circular needle.
Okay.
And so when I'm ready to do whatever I need to do, graft it together, I just have my other needle right there. I don't have to pick up any stitches. They're just right there. I love it.
I'm curious to see. I should actually look at the end of the pattern and see how they want it to be grafted together. I wonder if it's going to be...
I hope it's Kitchener Stitch.
I hope it's Kitchener Stitch, too.
Because that's what I was planning on. I never actually thought to... It never occurred to me that it might not be. Oops. Or I guess a 3-needle bind-off would work, too.
Doesn't that often leave a seam?
Yeah, but it's going to be at the back of your neck.
Yeah. Maybe I'm so anal that I would just do the Kitchener if it was anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find. I don't know how it's grafted together. Hopefully it works with whatever cast on I just did.
Yeah, I'll probably hate it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can just change it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm doing mine on a 3.5 millimeter. I thought it was too big at first. I did like 3 rows, 4 rows, and I was like, this is really big. Because when you look at the final dimensions, not that those are so important for a cowl, but it's only supposed to be like 6.5 inches across. And I was thinking, Jen's measuring with her hand now on hers.
Be happy about that.
And I was thinking, wow, this looks really, really big. So then I ripped it out, and then I did a gauge swatch, and I did a gauge swatch in my in a 3, and then I did one in a 3.25, and then I did one in a 3.5. Now, I'm not crazy. I didn't rip out all these gauge swatches. What I did was I just used the same gauge swatch for the whole thing, and I just put in scrap yarn every time I changed my needle size.
That's a good idea.
So I had, like, a little mini scarf.
Yeah.
And then I could just, you know, read my gauge from there instead of ripping it out and recasting on and blah, blah, because... Jen is the knitter that's never satisfied, and I am the knitter who doesn't want to do stuff over and over and over and over again.
I would rather be your way.
Is that the lazy knitter, I guess? I don't know.
No, I think it's smart, right? Because you only get so much time.
Yeah. And after spending Monday untangling everything, time was of the essence, people.
That's right.
So, yeah. And then I decided to keep the 3.5 millimeter, because with the other two, my gauge swatches were like... way too small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had way too few stitches. Not even something I could fake. I was like, I'm going to end up with a scarf at this rate.
Yeah.
So I decided to stick with the 3.5, recast it on, did about 10 rows of it, and the cables have really cinched it up,
mm-hmm.
right? So that it's not so... I just don't think I did enough the first time to really discover that. So, yeah. Yay!
Because, yeah, cables tend to pull in your knitting quite a bit, hey?
Yeah, and it was... So that was good for me. And I'm a very tight knitter, so that's why I decided to stick with the 3.5s. And I measured it today on the needles, and it's about 6.5 inches. Maybe a little bit bigger, but not... Whatever, it's a cowl. I'm not going to worry about it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started really getting into the cabling sections, I thought... And I looked at the charts, and then I read the instructions that you have to do the charts, like, what, 3 times? And then another half chart?
Oh, what?
yeah.
That was really poor planning on our part, so wasn't it? We're going, oh, it's so pretty, let's do this one, as opposed to, we like this one, let's do some research and see.
Yeah, we're very impulsive that way.
I know.
Hey, this is nice, we're going to do this one. Okay. And so I'm on row 17 of the first chart. And I'm now thinking, we only gave ourselves 3 weeks.
We're going to need more time.
So if you haven't started yet, you're fine. You're fine. This 3 weeks thing isn't happening. So, hey, join any time. Don't feel like you're behind, because I'm only on roll 17.
Yeah, and chances are I'm going to rip something out again.
Yeah, probably. And I thought it was going to be really super complicated. But like I said, once you get into it and read the pattern... I may or may not have knitted this during a Danish movie with subtitles yesterday.
If you can knit with subtitles, that's pretty good.
It was pretty good. I missed a couple of the subtitles, but not very many. So, yay me.
Yeah, I think it's... Like, I'm just looking at mine now, and... Yeah, I think it'll be good. Because, what am I, only 20 rows in, and I got a decent feel for it.
Yeah, it's easy-ish.
Ish.
Once you look at the row, because a lot of the cables are repeated throughout the row, and then there's just the edging,
mm-hmm.
so it's easier to sort of figure out what you're doing.
And I like charts.
This is my first time, I think, knitting from a chart.
Really?
I think so. I don't think I've... Well, in flat. I've done it in the round, but I've never done
I love charts. I'm a visual learner, and if I can glance at the chart, I can compare. Whereas if I had to actually read each individual stitch, I'd be screwed.
Yeah.
It would have been a whole cornucopia of not happening.
Well, hey, there you go. So, knitting in the wild. Well, apparently I don't have a life, because I was watching this movie on Netflix yesterday, a Danish movie. It's called A Royal Affair. And it's excellent if you like period historical films. And I do. I love them. Oops. Sorry. And it was subtitled. It was in Danish and French, but mostly Danish. And
every time you say that, I think dessert.
No, it was in the language.
Danishes.
I love Danishes too. And she has a knitted shawl on about halfway through the Queen of Denmark, has a knitted shawl on about halfway through the film, and it was very gossamer-like. I couldn't tell if it was hand-knitted or machine-knitted. But it was very pretty and was white.
I would think for a period piece, depending upon how accurate they're going, it probably would have been hand-knit.
Probably. I have no idea. I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Still looks nice.
It was gorgeous. It was just beautiful.
Do you want to give a quick premise of the movie in case anybody's interested in watching?
Sure. So A Royal Affair takes place in Denmark. I don't quite remember which century. But it's all about this woman marries King Christian. He's sort of he's a little crazy at first. He's a little unhinged, it looks like. Sorry to anyone who's Danish, if that offends you. But that's the way he's portrayed in the movie, so it's not my fault. And then he gets this doctor. She falls in love. They have an affair. But with this doctor, the king helps to bring in all these reforms from the Enlightenment to give people more rights, which threatens the church. And then there's a coup, and then she gets exiled, and the doctor... Yeah. So it's really, really good. It's about how... really how Danish society became it the way it is today. And it's okay. Like every other historical film, right? Like certain things are embellished a little bit to make it a better film.
But yeah.
It's really good and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, good. And that's Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Canadian Netflix, even.
Yeah, if it's made it onto the Canadian Netflix, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then podcasts we're listening to. I'm currently going through Dr. Gemma's.
Yeah.
That's Cognitive. And I think I'm at episode, like, 50, and that's back in 2009, so I've got a lot to catch up on. But that's what I listen to on the train in the mornings, and then I also listen to Brass Needles.
Perfect.
And so I guess I could give you, I'm sure everybody knows, but Cognitive is based on psychology. She talks about her knitting at the beginning, then goes into her psychology and different... She works at the point I'm back in 2009. She's working at a federal prison.
Oh, crazy.
In California. And I believe it's California. And it's so neat. And then Brass Needles, it's knitting at the beginning. And then she goes into sci-fi and... Oh, what else does she go into? Steampunk.
Yeah, she has a lot of steampunk, I was going to say. I really like steampunk.
I like it too, actually.
So, yeah.
And what are you listening to?
Well, what I'm listening to currently is called Welcome to Night Vale, and it is not knitting related at all, sorry, but it is really weird and awesome. It's sort of like, you know how you always hear these stories about War of the Worlds and how it sent everybody into this crazy, when it was first aired on the radio?
People didn't know it was satirical.
Yeah, they didn't realize that it was just a story. They thought it was really happening, and they were freaking out and panicking. And if you don't know that story, then... I'm sorry if I sound old. But this is sort of like that, and it reminds me of a cross between The Vinyl Cafe, which is a program on CBC Radio, also available as a podcast, sort of humorous stories, and The Twilight Zone. And I just have no other way to describe it. It's really interesting. It's really neat. I'm only on, like, episode 4.
It's done as if... This was really happening as...
It's done as if... It's done in... the premise is it's a community radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. So it's like your local community news for this place called Night Vale.
Mm-hmm.
That is the source of all sorts of weird things. It's like the Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Again, if you don't know what the Twilight Zone is, I'm sorry if I feel...
Google it.
If I'm sounding really old. But...
If not, listen.
Yo, Twilight Zone is great. But this is a really cool thing. It has nothing to do with knitting. But it was going crazy on my Facebook for a little while, so I decided I'd check it out.
And how long are the podcasts?
About 20 minutes, half an hour.
Oh, perfect.
In there, you know, so it's really good. When I listened to the first episode, I guess I was listening kind of loud, because my husband, who was upstairs, yells down, "What are you listening to? Where the heck is that?" So I explained, and he said, "It sounds weird." And I'm like, "Yeah, it does, but it's really good." So.
Yeah, we're kind of weird.
He knew that. Hey, so stash enhancement.
Yeah.
What have you acquired lately?
Well, at the barbecue we had on the holiday, I luckily got to dive in and get some Rowan Cash Soft. It's a 4-ply sock weight.
Cool.
And it's got cashmere. Ooh. And it's delicious. And it is bright red.
Awesome. Do you have any plans for that?
I think it's going to be mittens.
Oh, cool.
Because I've done the 198 Yards of Heaven as the Shawlette. In a bright red, and I thought that these would be the perfect complement.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love bright red.
Well, that's good then.
What did you get?
I got the Madeline Tosh lace 2-ply in the brownie colors. I think the color is actually called parchment. And I also lucked out and got a skein of 50-50 worsted weight merino silk.
Ooh.
In like a orangey color.
Peachy orange.
It's called sweet potatoes.
Yeah, I could see that.
So,
any plans?
Yeah, I had those, the hand warmers that I was doing last week in my pink Cascade 220.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't like it in the Cascade 220.
Oh.
So, I think I'm going to try it in these.
Oh, well.
And we'll see how it goes.
For merino silk, you can't go wrong.
No, you cannot go wrong. And it'll have nicer drape, I think, for the lace, which is my problem.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, because Cascade's 100% wool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's very stiff.
Yeah.
Not quite what I was looking for. So, that's okay. And all right.
I think that's it for us.
That concludes episode 8. What a tangled mess.
Oh, what a tangled
mess. So, please come visit us. We have our blog, knittingastory.wordpress.com. That's knittingastory.wordpress.com. We're also on Facebook at Knitting a Never Ending Story. And on Ravelry, our group is called Knitting a Story, KnittingaStory. And I'm Beloved of Bast on Ravelry, which is spelled BelovedOfBast.
And I'm Jen's account, JennsAccount.
So come and visit us. We've got links to all of our other places on our Ravelry page and on our WordPress page. So if you're having any problems finding us,
yeah, WordPress is where we keep our show notes.
That's where we have all of our show notes. So if you're ever... And I link to all the patterns that we talk about and the yarn and stuff, so...
Yeah, if come join.
Come join and come read it and...
We do have a...
Leave us comments.
We have a thread for the knit along.
We do have a thread for the knit along on Ravelry, and I posted about it also on Facebook, so...
Okay.
You can post pictures there or on Ravelry, and if you're not on Ravelry, you should consider coming to Ravelry. I'll give you... It's ravelry.com. Which is spelled ravelry.com. And it is a fabulous mecca of knitting things.
Fiber, knitting.
Fiber, spinning, crochet.
Oh, we share the same brain.
Yeah. That's why we do this podcast together.
That's true.
So yeah, come and join us. Come and leave us a note if you have any questions. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about or you want to see something or whatever.
Friend us.
Yeah, we like to troll what you're looking at.
Absolutely.
For your patterns and stuff. Yay. That's how I end up favoriting all this stuff. It's not me, it's you guys, and I'm just piggybacking off of you. So yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see you guys next week.
Enjoy. Happy knitting.